Good morning, afternoon, or night, or whenever you're deciding to listen to this podcast. It doesn't really matter because no matter what, it's going to be awesome. This is the second episode of Live Reality Era, and I am your host, Kinsey Michaels. I am a second-year journalism major at the University of Iowa who is in love with the WWE and everything that surrounds it, everything about it. I love the superstars, the divas. I love creative, whatever. You know, and I just decided that I wanted to start a podcast pretty much shoots, you know, where I think the WWE should go, where it's going, you know, just analyzing, not necessarily any sort of expertise or anything like that, because, you know, I'm just a fan like everyone else, but kind of just weighing in, giving my opinion. You know, it's the technological era where everyone has an opinion and everyone wants to be heard, and that's just me. So I kind of wanted to take my second episode in a different direction than what I did with my first episode, where I kind of just rehashed what happened on Monday the night before, or where I kind of gave my opinion on what I thought about the Royal Rumble. So I wanted to go in a different direction and go with sort of dream feuds, and not necessarily dream feuds in the way of, you know, totality, like the entire WWE or WWF and everything like that, but just with the current superstars and divas that are on the roster today. And that kind of pains me because I really wanted to use Alberto Del Rio, but, you know, I'll just do it with the superstars and divas who are currently on the roster. So, yeah, let's just jump right into it. My first feud that I would love to see, you know, and some of these, they've already happened or some of them are happening currently. Mind you, I did tweet out on the 13th of January. I tweeted out these dream feuds. My Twitter is ChicagoLand2012. You can check it out if you don't believe me, whatever. But, you know, some of these the WWE is currently doing, but, you know, I'll say it here. I tweeted them out first, so, you know, whatever. But, yeah, the first one that I'd love to see is Sheamus versus Randy Orton. I know we've seen this one before, you know, and they fought some great matches before, but I would love to see it again. I feel like, you know, they're both out with injury right now. Randy Orton's out with some sort of sinus injury. I'm not really sure. I know he went out to do his movie initially, and now he's just kind of recovering from some surgery, but he's doing dark matches now. And then you have Sheamus, who they've recently started, you know, showing like, oh, he's going to return, these type of things. And he went out with, I'm not really sure what injury Sheamus went out with, but I know he had to get surgery. So just to have those two come back and to feud, you know, we know that Sheamus, if you were to choose off of the roster currently, one of the most explosive, powerful, dominant, athletic big men, Sheamus would definitely be at the top of that card, because what he does in that ring is almost, I mean, things that you would think that only the smaller guys could do. You know, Sheamus jumps off the top rope, you know, and he doesn't do this stuff all the time, but he can, you know, fling his body across the ropes. He can, you know, do flips and just, you know, I love the brogue kick and just things that, you know, are very athletic for someone of his size, you know, and counteract that with Randy Orton. We know that Randy's a vet. We know he has somewhat of this, you know, he's the Viper, so he's somewhat of a snake, you know, and just, you know, those two together, we've seen matches out of them before, what they can do, you know, and you can tell that off screen that they are definitely friendly. You know, I'm not really sure, you know, what their status is as far as friendship goes, but you can kind of tell which superstars are friends, you know, behind the scenes, you know, so to speak. So, and that always makes for a better match, you know, because you have two people who are going to go right at each other from start to finish. You know, they're not afraid to take it there because they are friends and, you know, or whatever. So Sheamus and Randy Orton, I definitely want to see that happen again. I'm not really sure where the feud would stem from. Of course, that's up to creative to create, you know, a storyline for these guys. But, you know, you have an interesting situation here where Sheamus could be the babyface. Or, and I want to see this, he could be the heel. We're used to seeing Sheamus be this sort of happy-go-lucky, which kind of annoys me because I'm like, he's a really big guy. He's a brute. How does he, you know, play off this happy-go-lucky type of character? But he's kind of angry as well. You know, you don't want to get on Sheamus's bad side. So I would love to see him maybe be heel in the situation. Or, of course, Randy Orton, one of the greatest heels of all time, in my opinion, him being heel, or he could be babyface. You know, I've heard that he's going to come back babyface, and I've heard that Sheamus is going to come back heel. So, you know, I would love to see those two feud again, you know, because any time that they've ever feud, I want to say they've gone at least twice. The matches have been amazing. They're two guys who know what they're doing between those ropes, and they put on amazing matches. You would definitely get a This Is Awesome chant out of those two, and I really want to see that match. So, you know, and that as a feud as well. So that would be number one. Moving on, I would love to see, and this one has already been done, of course, Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. They did it before, just recently, but I don't think they did it well enough. There was zero storyline. Bray's saying that he, you know, pretty much calling Dean's dad a deadbeat, saying that he's in jail, which, I mean, how does Bray Wyatt know these things? And, you know, you're kind of wondering where he's coming from with these things. But those two feuding again, going at it again, because they didn't really get to do it the first time. It was like they didn't really care about the storyline. They sort of just wanted the matches, and then it was around Christmas time where it was like, now they're turning into gimmick matches. It kind of took the lunacy out of all of it. We know that they're both great on mic, so that would have been great to see them sort of have a war of words in addition to their feuding. And just to see how crazy those two can actually get. Because, you know, even though Bray's a bigger guy, he uses a lot of power moves with his body and everything. But he's extreme. He's like, you know, Mick Foley, I guess. You know, I don't really see him as a Mick Foley. Mick sees him as a, you know, Mick Foley thinks that he's kind of like him. I don't really see it. But he is like him in the way of size and being extreme as well, you know. And then Dean Ambrose is this guy who's going to come at you from all angles, and he's probably going to bite your face off. So, you know, he's crazy. You have that, and then you have Bray's just cult leader, Louisiana backwoods guy that you don't want to meet in a dark alley. So those two together, you know, I want them on the card. I don't, you know, the feud's still there because they never actually, you know, disband. They just stopped fighting each other. So the feud's still there. I would love to see it happen again and much better than the first time. I don't know if you could be worse than they did it the first time because there was zero storyline and it wasn't getting a lot of attention because you had Seth Rollins feuding with John Cena at the time. But this is a feud that I would love to see happen in 2015 because it could have went much longer. It could have had a lot more dimensions to it. It was kind of one-dimensional, and it made people not care as much about it as maybe they should have, because those are two guys that can really go. So, want to see that one again. Moving on to my Divas feud, and, you know, and this one stems from Money in the Bank 2014. I feel like Naomi versus Paige in a feud would be amazing. It would be to die for, because those two tore it up. Money in the Bank 2014, if you haven't seen it, you should go back and watch it because it was amazing. I was sitting there with my sister and I'm kind of like, why is everyone just sitting here? Why is no one on their feet in the crowd? You know, the crowd's like dead silent. And I'm like, they are putting on a 5-star match right now. I would say that minus the NXT Divas matches because we know that they just rip through each other down there. That was probably the best match of the year as far as Divas matches go. And I know everyone gets on their feet for AJ Lee versus Paige, which that's understandable because they're the anti-divas, or at least they're seen that way. In my opinion, I would think that like Chyna or Karma or someone who doesn't fit that mold of like, oh, this is what a woman should look like. Those are the anti-divas. But I mean, you know, if they want to be anti-divas, then let them be anti-divas. But people definitely should get into a feud where the athleticism is there. If they gave them a storyline, I feel like it would all be there. We know that Naomi's not, you know, too advanced on mic. She doesn't really ever get the opportunity to be on mic. And then you know that Paige, you know, she's a rookie. So you see her faults at times. But we know that they can tear it up in the ring. They're both athletic. They both have submission moves out of this world. And then you have the same situation where with Randy Orton and Sheamus, heel or babyface, it can go either way. Naomi could definitely be the babyface, as we've seen her be time and time again, Or, and this is what I would love to see, they could turn her heel and she would be sort of like Jazz or Jacqueline or, you know, anyone like that who is just this dominant force who's so strong, and she's a really strong woman, you know, who can pick people up and toss them, you know, she's like Nikki Bella, but I guess, you know, she's black, so, you know, so there's a difference there. So it's like those two going head to head. Paige could be the baby face. You know, she has this dark thing about her, so maybe they want her to be heel in that case. But either way, you know, you have a heel or a baby face. Regardless of that, though, they are going to put on one heck of a match no matter what. The storyline, of course, needs to be there, and that comes down to creative. Once again, you have to get the storyline there. The Divas don't typically ever have a storyline that's worth noting. Because, I mean, quite honestly, I don't really know what the storyline is right now. It's the Bella Twins are bullying Paige, essentially, and somehow Natalya sometimes has something to do with it, and then now she's somewhat feuding with Naomi. I'm not really sure what's going on in that respect, but you have that. We need a storyline for these Divas. They have it. You know, Naomi has it right now. Paige has it right now. They wouldn't have to wait for these guys, and they want to be around. You know, and that's no bones on AJ Lee, but they want to be here. They want to be around. They want the opportunity. Naomi deserves the Divas title. She was going to win it off of AJ Lee coming out of WrestleMania 2014, but things changed. Paige eventually won. But a lot of people don't really know is that Naomi beat out AJ Lee in this sort of NXT competition, whatever you want to call it. And so that obviously means they saw a lot in her back when they were in NXT, back when they were in FCW. Even more so than AJ Lee, you know, so they haven't really given her the chance to show what she can do. They haven't given her the chance to show how far she can actually reach. But I feel like if they gave her that opportunity, she would not let them down at all. So that's my Divas Feud 2015. I would love to see Paige versus Naomi. Moving on, and this is one that, you know, as I said, I posted this the 13th of January. They're doing it now. Rusev versus John Cena. I feel like, and this stemmed from, where does John Cena go after feuding with Brock Lesnar and pretty much dominating Seth Rollins, you know, in interim play, of course, because Seth Rollins was not the initial feud with John Cena. It was Brock Lesnar, but we know he's never around. So where does John Cena go after that? And you have Rusev, who is on a win streak even greater than Roman Reigns. I know, shocking, but Rusev hasn't lost a match, you know, as far as by pinfall or submission in the WWE since he has come up. So you have some guy who is anti-America, and you have John Cena, who is the face of the company right now, who is pretty much pro-America. I remember back in the day, John Cena was U.S. champ all the time, and he would take it off Booker T, he would take it off of Kurt Angle, just. And he was a great U.S. champ. I remember him fighting Carlito. Just great matches that he would always put on. Him versus Rusev just makes sense, quite honestly. Because John is that, you know, he's the Marine guy. He's the military guy all of a sudden, I guess. Because, you know, he does the movie The Marine and he comes back as a Marine, I guess. I liked Basic Thugonomics, John Cena, but that's for another day, I suppose. Rusev has this powerful moveset that you don't see in a lot of guys his size. And by his size, I don't mean his height, because he's not really that tall of a guy. I mean his stockiness. You know, he's a pretty stout guy. He's pretty stocky. But what he can do as far, he can do, you know, kicks, he can do drop kicks, just things that he can do that a lot of guys his size probably can't do. You have him, and then you have John, who, as I said with Randy Orton, they're both vets. They know what they're doing. John's going to take the lead in this one. Preferably, John goes down. I know that, you know, typically it's like, you know, Cena, get the shovels, because he buries everybody. But hopefully, he lets Rusev go over. Hopefully, the WWE and creative lets Rusev go over, just because it would mean so much more to Rusev to win a match like this than it would for John Cena. Like, he doesn't need the U.S. title. It would be a great fight. It would be a great feud. You know, it is starting off as a good feud, actually. But you don't really want to do that to Rusev at this point in his career, because he hasn't lost a match yet, and then it's like, oh, he goes up against John and he loses. How typical, you know? John always beats out these younger guys, and it's not something that John needs at this point in his career. You know, put Rusev over is what he needs to do, and, you know, hopefully that happens. Moving on, Seth Rollins versus Triple H. Now, this one's one that I definitely see happening. All these other ones are, you know, either they're happening or they're predictions or what I would love to see. But I definitely see Seth Rollins going after Triple H, or Triple H going after Seth Rollins, just because they're in a group right now that is not going to last forever. You know, quite honestly, I wish the Authority would disband as quickly as possible, because it's really annoying just having them reign over. You know, it's like a dark cloud that's over every storyline, every situation, every match. Or it's like, how do you beat out a group that is actually in power, that actually has the authority to call matches or to, you know, to make these decisions? It's kind of like, eventually they're going to have to break up. You know, no group lasts forever. The Shield broke up, you know, after they wanted a pay-per-view, which was probably one of the dumbest ideas of 2014. But, you know, that's for another day. Seth Rollins versus Triple H. Now, Seth, we know, can go against guys who are twice his size. We know he's fought Roman Reigns, he's fought Batista. Back in December, I want to say the 19th or the 26th of 2013, and this was the first time he ever fought John Cena, they went at it. Like, they were amazing. I know Roman Reigns fought Mark Henry, Dean Ambrose fought Biggie Langston, but those matches paled in comparison to what Seth Rollins and John Cena did. It was like the first time you ever got to see Seth Rollins really go at it. It was kind of like he had this stigma of being the, I guess, the weakest person in the Shield at the time, you know, or the underdog, or whatever you want to call him, underrated. So he had that stigma, and he definitely broke out in that match against John Cena. So we know he can go with the bigger guys. We know that Triple H is like the master of sales. He's going to, you know, take the bumps and bruises. He's going to make Seth look good, and he's going to put Seth over. And even if Seth doesn't go over within the first match, you know, maybe they beat Seth down, you know, and possibly the Authority is still together. Maybe you still have Kane and Big Show and, you know, J&J, whatever. Maybe they turn on Seth, but possibly the Authority jumps Seth and they beat him down and make him really look like that baby face, you know. And then eventually, hopefully he goes over, because I think that that's like a triumphant story. Everyone gets behind those types of stories. That's a human interest story, you know, or the little guy, he finally gets it, and, you know, it's like a Rocky type story. So I would love to see that. And we haven't been able to see much out of Seth Rollins as far as his high-flying ability. We saw a little bit at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and we've seen glimpses throughout his heel run, but at the same time, it's like there's nothing like being a babyface for someone who is a high flyer, because you can entertain the crowd that way, you know. And they tell him to take, you know, and the same thing happened with Cesaro, where you take little things out of your repertoire of moves just because that would excite the crowd. And I feel like we haven't even seen half or even a quarter of what Seth Rollins can do in that ring, and it's like, I want to see how far can this guy go. Like, it seems limitless as far as how entertaining he can be, and I would love to see him entertain in that babyface setting. So I would love to see Seth Rollins versus Triple H. That's probably one that's destined to happen no matter what, because besides Randy Orton, Triple H is not loyal to anyone. So we know that eventually he's going to turn on Seth Rollins. Eventually Seth Rollins is going to be out of the Authority, or, you know, something of that nature. So that feud's destined to happen, and I can't wait till it does. Moving on, we have Ryback and Mark Henry. Now, this is one that I'm not sure that they actually feuded per se, but I know that they had like a strongman competition where Mark was the heel, and I remember they were like arm wrestling and just doing a lot of different things, like, oh, who's stronger than who. But I would love to see this as a feud. You know, we haven't seen Mark Henry since, I want to say, Survivor Series, so it's been about 3 months. You know, he pretty much was out. He was the first guy out in the Survivor Series match, and then he pretty much disappeared. So, you know, now you have Ryback turning face. You know, he got fired, you know, storyline fired, and then he came back. And so now he's babyface. Mark, heel or babyface, is always going to put on one heck of a match. Ryback can go heel or babyface. So you kind of have that once again, you have that Randy Orton and Sheamus, you have that Naomi and Paige thing, where it's like either one can really go heel or babyface, and that makes it that much more interesting. And I'm the type of person who loves to see big guys, you know, big guys fight, you know, no pun intended as far as Ryback goes, but the big guys, you know, I love the, just the brute force, you know, what they can do. They can, you know, slam each other through the tables, they could break the ring, if possible, if you have Mark Henry and, you know, and another large guy involved, you know, breaking down the barricade, throwing each other up the steps, just an all-out brawl, something that the smaller guys can try and replicate, but it doesn't necessarily get across the same way, you know, they're more of the high flyers or, you know, things like that, so, you know, which I love as well, but there's nothing like an all-out brawl, and that's what Mark Henry and Ryback can give us. Also, you know, if Mark's looking for a way out, you know, and I don't know if he's injured or if he's just taking time off or what's going on right now, but it can sort of be like a passing of a torch type of thing where you have Ryback go over against Mark and kind of becomes that new big guy, you know? I mean, he could just dump Mark Henry, just put him down, you know, and Mark pretty much has to retire after that. So that's a way out if Mark wants one. And that's a feud that I wouldn't mind seeing in 2015. Hopefully Mark comes back and we can, you know, get that. So moving on, and as I said, there are some feuds that I have on this list that the WWE is currently doing, and this is one of them, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns. I love this feud right now. I feel like it couldn't have came at a more, you know, at a more opportune time. It almost seemed desperate at first when they were doing it. It was like, oh, they're trying to silence the boos as far as Roman Reigns goes, but it actually looks very good. We know that Roman Reigns is like this BA guy. He wasn't getting to do that enough with being victimized by the Big Show and by the Authority in general. Now he sort of gets to be this lone wolf, this, you know, top guy, this big dog, as he likes to call himself, who can bully someone like Daniel Bryan, who is more soft-spoken. You know, Daniel Bryan is more soft-spoken in speech, but at the same time, he'll knee you in the face and you'll be knocked out. So it's like, they both have that sort of calm before the storm type thing going on, which I think is really interesting. And then you get the divide of the crowd as well. And I feel like they should have played this up with Shield versus Wyatt's, but if they're going to do it now, then that's great. Where it's like, should I cheer for Roman Reigns? Should I cheer for Daniel Bryan? It kind of puts the crowd in a weird situation, which I think they don't normally do. They try to make the crowd like one over the other, and it's like, that doesn't work in this situation. Either you like Roman or you like Daniel Bryan, and that's the end of the story, and that's what makes this a great feud right now. I sort of wish that Daniel had the title right now instead of Brock Lesnar. I feel like that's the way that it was going to happen initially, with Brock Lesnar, or without Daniel Bryan getting injured. I don't think Brock Lesnar would have had the title for Roman Reigns to take off of him, because I feel like Daniel would have had it the full year up until the next WrestleMania, and then Roman would have taken it off of him. You know, but injuries are not something that you can necessarily control, so, you know, and they've both been injured. Roman had his hernia surgery, and then Daniel a more serious neck injury, but these are two guys who are 1 and 2, and you can debate over who's 1 and who's 2, as far as who's going to succeed John Cena and who's going to carry the company. Now, both guys are more than able to do that. Daniel Bryan, we know, 15 years of experience, so he's way more experienced than Roman Reigns. But at the same time, Roman Reigns can still put on magnificent matches because of the fact that he is so entertaining. Like, his moveset, and people say that it's limited or whatever they want to say to criticize him, but I mean, these are the same people who were cheering him a few months ago. So his moveset's explosive. His moveset's just, it's watchworthy. Like, you want to see what he's going to do tonight. And I feel like that's great for him to go up against Daniel Bryan, because he was sort of going soft. And I think that it's good that they're doing it with him and Bray Wyatt, where they're making them more of the characters that they were before, where they're not these watered down baby faces or a watered down heel in Bray Wyatt's case. You know, don't take him the route of John Cena. If you're going to make him the star of the company, take him the route of Roman Reigns. You know, he's a tougher guy. He's, you know, he's sassy. He's, you know, I mean, he's got an attitude, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and that's the route that they should go with Roman Reigns, and as far as this feud goes, you know, Daniel definitely the one getting victimized, but at the same time, you could switch it up, maybe, I don't know, I don't really think Daniel can go heel. I've seen him try before, and it's not really too pleasant, so I feel like maybe Roman should definitely go heel, if they need a heel at all, you know, sometimes you can just throw two guys in the ring and it'll be great. I know that they fought before. I'm not really sure what the match, like, I know it was on a Raw, and I know Randy Orton and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins were ringside, but I'm not really sure what the date on that was. But Roman just was able to use such powerful moves, you know, slams, you know, that are wasted on Big Show, you know, or Kane, because Roman can't toss Big Show or Kane clear across the ring like he can Daniel Bryan. And Daniel has the neck injury, so he's tossing him around the ring, he's playing up that neck injury, and it just makes it that much more aesthetically pleasing, because you have two guys who the crowd likes, but then they're going at each other full force. And I also want to just, this is just a little side note, I don't really understand people getting angry at the fact that Roman Reigns speared Daniel Bryan on Monday night, and this was February 9th, I believe. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, because obviously if they're going to fight at Fastlane, they're going to have to go to blows, they're going to come to blows at some point, so, you know, maybe Roman shouldn't have speared Daniel, whatever, but eventually they were going to fight, so it really doesn't matter when it happened. It happened. So yeah, that's a feud that I'm really liking right now. I wish it wasn't just going to happen for this pay-per-view, and I don't know how long it's necessarily going to happen, but it would be great if it went longer than this, because I feel like that's like marquee right there. You have two of the top guys in the company right now going at each other, and it's sort of like a Steve Austin Rocky thing, and I say that, of course, because I feel like clearly Roman is in Rocky's family, and then Steve Austin and Daniel Bryan. I mean, they don't have the same moveset. That's more of a Dean Ambrose, but, you know, I guess because they look alike in some way. Well, not really. You know, it's just the same type of feel, you know, where you get Rocky versus Stone Cold, where there's two top guys instead of one, and they fight it out, and you kind of have to decide, well, which one do I want to like at this point? And I feel like that's what you're getting out of Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. I love the feud, and I hope that they continue with it past Fastlane. You know, just so if Roman's going to turn heel, this is the perfect opportunity. You know, I'm excited. This is like the first time that I've been excited to watch Raw or SmackDown. You know, I don't normally watch SmackDown, quite honestly. But I'm going to watch this Thursday just because Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are going to have a face-off. You know, and they're both great superstars. You know, I know that people give Roman a lot of criticism for what he does, but they're both great superstars. They both have a lot of potential, and just to see those two fight it out right now, that's amazing. So I love this feud, hope it continues, and, you know, yeah. So moving on, excuse me, we've got Bad News Barrett and Big E, you know, and of course, I still call him Wade Barrett from time to time because that was his name. I don't really know, like, his name's Bad News now. I guess that's his first name. I'm not really sure. And then Big E is like, he used to be Big E Langston, and now he's just Big E. Everyone's, like, losing their last name or their first name because Cesaro used to be Antonio Cesaro, and then Rusev used to be Alexander Rusev, I believe. So, I don't know what's going on with that. But Bad News Barrett versus Big E, I would love to see that. I so want to call him Big E Langston. I don't even, it's really hard to, like, not call him Big E Langston. But anyway, so, now these two should have had a feud in general because Big E had the title and then Wade took it off of him, and Big E never did get his rematch for that because Wade Barrett, you know, Jack Swagger, thanks a lot. No, you know, he injures Wade Barrett. So, you never get the rematch between those two. And then when Wade comes back, you get Dean Ambrose sliding in because Big E is now in A New Day. So he's kind of going after, I want to say he's going after the tag titles, but, you know, they're not really fighting the Usos, so it's kind of confusing. But those two had a feud just in general because they never did have their rematch. So, you know, I would love to see them get their rematch. Wade Barrett, we know, he's a sneaky guy. And that's what I love about him. He's sneaky. He's going to toss an elbow at you. He seems like if If they were still allowing people to use the brass knucks, he would be using the brass knucks. Like, he'd be pulling them out of his underwear like William Regal used to do. So, he'd be that type of guy. And then you have Big E, who's just this monster powerhouse, you know, who's just slamming people everywhere. And I love the big ending. I think it's, like, one of the best finishers in the WWE right now. So, you have those two guys, and just, they're going at each other hard. You know that they, I mean, I remember their match against each other, and this might have been the one for the title, but they were just going at each other full steam ahead, like, it, or full speed ahead, whatever, however you say it. They were going at each other really hard, and it was really enjoyable, because you don't get a lot of guys who just attack each other like they did. And if you haven't seen it, then look it up, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So yeah, those two, hands down, would put on a 5-star match. We already know that. I mean, they put on great matches before, so I just feel like, you know, create the storyline for them, of course, because you do have Big E in A New Day, and you have Wade going in a different direction. He's doing BNZ now. I'm not sure if he's, like, injured or why Dean Ambrose is fighting Curtis Axel, quite honestly, but, you know, that's going on. But those two, it's a built-in feud, and the fact that Big E never got his rematch. I mean, if Daniel Bryan's going to complain about a rematch from a year ago, why not give Big E his rematch from a few months ago? So yeah, I would love to see those two feud. I feel like we don't get enough of Big E because he's in this group now, and, you know, and I love the group, quite honestly, but I feel like you're taking three guys who were already being, you know, pushed into a corner and then told to go away, and then you're putting them in a group and telling them to go away. So, you know, they're not really getting that dominant, you know, placement like the Shield or the Wyatts did. And it's kind of like, well, if you're going to do a three-person group, of course people are going to think of the Shield and they're going to think of the Wyatts. Give them the same respect, because Kofi Kingston's multiple-time IC champ, multiple-time U.S. champ, you know, and Xavier Woods, regardless of whether people know it or not, he fought in ROH, he fought in the Indies, so, you know, against Jon Moxley and Tyler Black, who are now Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. So, give, you know, and then Big E, that's your NXT champion right there. He took it off of Seth Rollins, and then, you know, Bo Dallas eventually took it off of him, but give Big E, obviously Big E is liked in the back to get that NXT championship in the first place, so give him another opportunity to be IC champ, honestly, because I feel like Wade's getting a little bit older, and, you know, if he's gonna give it to Dean Ambrose, then that's fine, but Big E does, in all honesty, have a rematch, you know, if we're going to stick to who deserves what and who has a rematch clause going on. So, you know, I would just love to see them fight it out one more time in a major feud. I feel like Wade's hilarious on mic, and then Big E, we've never really gotten to see him on mic, but from what he's doing in A New Day, he's pretty funny too. So I feel like that would be just a hilarious war of words against those, or between those two. So yeah, there's that. Moving on. We have Cesaro versus Dolph Ziggler. Yes, of course, I had to get Zigglypuff in there because I love Dolph Ziggler. I really do. And, you know, there's like a period of time where I did not like Dolph Ziggler. I didn't understand why everyone was so high on him. But then I started watching his matches more, you know, because I used to kind of just turn away. I didn't like his underdog personality, quite honestly. But then I'm like, you know, this kind of works. I like this guy, you know. I like them as Nikki in the Spirit Squad, so, you know, and then he was Kerwin White's caddy, I believe, so, you know, that's Chavo Guerrero, by the way. So yeah, Ziggler versus Cesaro, we know that those are two of the hardest working guys in the back. You know, you talk about who's hardworking, and of course everyone's hardworking. This is a business where you can't be lazy and get to the top, so everyone's hardworking, but you have two guys who are constantly pushed away from that main event scene. You know, Dolph, he says things on Twitter, or he says things that are not agreed upon as far as the officials of the WWE go. And then Cesaro said, you know, that he doesn't want to see John Cena versus Randy Orton for the 1,000th time, and ever since then, he's pretty much been buried. You know, now he's sort of coming back up, but he's in a tag team, which is, that's below Cesaro, quite honestly. He can wrestle as a single superstar. And then they tried to do Dolph with Ryback, which I'm glad that they stopped that. But then they're kind of still doing it a little bit, because they came out with Eric Rowan and they helped Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. And I'm like, that's enough, okay? These three got fired together. That's all they have in common, quite honestly. But so back to the feud. I think that Cesaro versus Dolph Ziggler, of course, obviously in a match, it's going to be amazing. As I said, those are two of the hardest working guys. They get pushed away from the main event all the time, but when they do get out there and they do get the opportunity to entertain the crowd, they do their jobs better than anyone else on the roster. And people can complain about me not saying Daniel Bryan all they want, but those two are constantly pushed away from the main event. Like I said, they're never necessarily given what they deserve as far as how great of wrestlers they are. And I say great because that's what they are. They're great wrestlers. You know, they're not superstars. They're great wrestlers. They can make it anywhere. So, you know, just the heart that those two have, you know that when they get out there, and I don't know who would go over, you know, because Cesaro, he would possibly be the heel. I know that people love Cesaro because he's just this European, he's a European uppercut, if that even makes any sense. Like, he's just this really tough European dude that, you know, he's just amazing. And then you have Dolph Ziggler, obviously, he's paid his dues. He's earned his stripes. He's, you know, Dolph doesn't get nearly as much as he deserves. But just those two in the ring together, you know you're gonna get a 6-star match out of those two. Like, you're gonna be, this is awesome chance, holy bleep. You know, I'm not going to curse, but, you know, just every chant that you can think of as far as what's amazing. Like, you're almost going to be chanting, this is awful, because it's going to be that good. Like, I mean, like, my dad used to say, like, can something be so delicious that it's nasty? So it's like, that's how it would be. It would be so good that it's just stupid or dumb or just horrible. Like, that's how great that match would be. I would love to see them fight each other. I want to say that they've had a match between each other before, but just an all-out feud, though. Like, that, there's a difference between a match and a feud. In a feud, you get to know your opponent, and you guys get to plan out your matches even more so to where you're going to know where to hit those spots and, like, how to get the crowd into your matches, which it's not going to take a lot for these two because the crowd's going to be in it immediately once they find out who is going to be in this fight tonight. But, yeah, just those two fighting it out. I would love to see that in 2015. I don't know if they're going to give that to those two because they kind of don't like those two right now. But but yeah, like, hopefully they get the opportunity because we know that they would put on a great match. And it's really about the fans. The WWE doesn't always listen to its fans or always give its fans what they deserve. But this would be an opportunity to do that. Those two fighting each other, those two feuding against each other. I would love to see that happen. So moving on, we have the Usos versus the Ascension, and I know they've had a match between each other, but I just don't feel like the Ascension is getting as much of a push as the Wyatt family, the Shield, Bo Dallas, Rusev, Paige, all of these other people who came up out of NXT. They all got a much greater push when they came up than the Ascension is getting currently. They're kind of just, first of all, they were getting matches against jobbers, and they weren't your traditional jobbers who live in Jobberville. They were people that you don't even know. Like, and that was the weirdest thing about it. It was like, who are these people? I mean, I know that Lance Anoa'i was there. Woohoo! You know, but other than that, I really have no clue who the other people were. And it was like, I mean, obviously they were wrestlers, but it's like, why have them fight against these people? If you weren't going to have a storyline ready for them, why bring them up, quite honestly? I would love to see them be tag champs. I would love to see them versus the Usos, especially in an elongated match, because obviously those are four guys who know what they're doing. They're four guys who are going to be highly entertaining. And then the Usos, what their direction right now is kind of off. It's like they lost to Cesaro and Tyson Kidd yesterday, and that was February 9th. Monday Night Raw, and it's just, I don't really know why that happened, and then they inducted Rikishi into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Big Keesh, but, I mean, they do that after they lost. It was kind of ill placement. I don't really know why they would lose, but, you know, and the crowd's into the Usos. Everyone loves the Usos. Like, if you don't love the Usos, something's wrong with you, because they've done nothing to deserve your hatred, and I just could not stand it with that Philly crowd, man. Like, I mean, the Philly crowd was off in general, but it's like, they were like, booing the Usos, like, that just really rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm just like, the Usos are one of the most entertaining tag teams. They are one of the only tag teams, one of the only true tag teams who come out and they wear the same gear and they have moves together and things like that. And it's not a forced tag team, you know, like Cesaro and Tyson Kidd or when they were doing Dolph Ziggler and Ryback. Those are forced ones, quite honestly, that are like, oh, we just want to put you two together tonight. But no, they're a true tag team. They're highly entertaining. We know what we're going to get out of the Usos. And when they were fighting Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, those matches to kick off the show were the best match of the night on some of those pay-per-views. So we know what we're going to get out of the Usos. We know that they're going to put on an awesome match. And then put them, you know, and the Usos have earned their stripes as well. I think a lot of people forget that the Usos, they crawled and scratched and like, you know, on bleeding knees and you know, because they had to go all the way from the bottom, you know, clear to the top because they were not getting that opportunity. They were 8 years into their careers before they won the tag titles. And now, yes, they are two-time tag champs. But it's like when you give it to the New Age Outlaws before you give it to the Usos, that's kind of a slap in the face. When you give it to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins before you give it to the Usos, that's just disrespectful. So the Usos, they fought and they climbed their way to the top of that tag team division. And just to be able to fight the Ascension is, you know, something that is great for the Ascension. You know, whether they win or lose in the feud, I'm not really sure who I would be going for. Because the Usos, as I said, it's not like they've had a long reign at the top of the tag team division. So for them to go down is not really a wise idea either. But just the match itself would be highly entertaining. We know what we're going to get out of them. That could kick off the show. That could be in the fourth spot, which they say is the dreaded spot, whatever. That match would be amazing no matter what, because you have these new guys who are fighting and scratching, and they want to make a name for themselves, you know? And then you have the Usos, who it took them a while to get to the top as well, you know? So maybe they'll put these guys over, maybe they won't, but regardless, it's going to be a great match, and that's a feud that I would love to see in 2015. So, moving on to my last and final feud that I would love to see in 2015, and of course, as I said before, I've said it, you know, probably 3 or 4 times now, I posted this feud on Twitter on the 13th of January, and, you know, the WWE is somewhat doing it now. I feel like they're going to do it. Probably they're going to have a match of this caliber at Fastlane. But I said Miz versus Mizdow. You know, eventually everyone knows that was going to happen, where they were going to break up and, you know, because Mizdow's like heavily over now. I don't really know why he was, you know, when he was Damian Sandow, which I love Damian Sandow. I miss the Kobe Tiaki yet. When he was Damian Sandow, no one could give a crap about him. But now he's being, I mean, and when they break up, is he going to still be Damian Mizdow? It's kind of confusing in that way, but so I would love to see those two feud. I know that Damian Sandow is a great wrestler. We know that. And we know that The Miz is a great wrestler. I mean, he wouldn't have made it to the main event of WrestleMania if he wasn't a great wrestler. Of course, you know, John Cena had the shovel ready, so, you know, and now he's beat Miz down to mid-card, but you know, Miz, whether he's mid-card, whether he's high-card, whether he's low-card, Miz puts on one heck of a match whenever he steps into the ring. You know, he could be fighting Roman Reigns, he could be fighting Dolph Ziggler, it doesn't matter, he's not going to change what he does when he gets out there. And then you have Damian Sandow, Damian Mizdow, where he's obviously, and they're both extremely talented on mic, which makes it that much more of a must-see, because you have two guys who could go at it in a war of words, and just Miz, with just how hilarious he is, like, he's like, you know, to the crowd, shut up, I'm talking, like, just things that when my hand goes up, your voices go down, or whatever, just funny things that he says, just, that are clearly on the spot, but just those two in-ring and on mic would be aesthetically pleasing, because you know what you're gonna get as far as, you know, Miz and his wrestling ability. We know that Damian Sandow, Damian Mizdow, whatever you want to call him, we know that he was heavily over. He won the, you know, Money in the Bank briefcase, and, you know, eventually John Cena, here he comes with a shovel and tote. But those two feuding it out, on mic it's gonna be great. The storyline is there. You know, in the ring it's gonna be great. I mean, it's not like they can't wrestle or something like that. They would probably be great together. You know, they've hung out with each other long enough. So that's another feud that I would love to see in 2015. So I believe that that's like, I want to say it's 11. Yeah, 11 different feuds, which that's a card right there. You know, maybe a few of them would get cut, but, you know, quite honestly, that's a card. So I would love to see those 11 feuds 2015. I know that the WWE is doing a few of them now. They probably would never do some of the other ones, but, you know, and that's just, you know, that's pretty much my spiel right there, you know. It says Live Reality Era, episode number 2. I'm Kinsey Michaels. I'm your host, and I'm signing off. See you later.